This is Performance Iowa. We're coming to you live from Iowa Public Radio on the University of Northern Iowa campus in Cedar Falls. Good afternoon. I'm Jacqueline Hallbloom. This is Iowa Public Radio Classical, and we're bringing you the Rollins Piano Trio, appearing here today thanks to the upcoming Cedar Valley Chamber Music Festival running tomorrow through July 26th. Thank you. Brava. That was fantastic. I love that piece. The Rollins Piano Trio in a dazzling performance of Piazzolla's Spring Movement from his Four Seasons of Buenos Aires. And thanks for joining us today. We're broadcasting live from Studio One on Iowa Public Radio's UNI campus studio. And the Rollins Piano Trio musicians are faculty members of the University of South Dakota's Department of Music. And members of the Rollins Piano Trio include cellist Mary Elaine Gagnon, pianist Susan Keith Gray, and Uno Kim. So let's hear a little bit about each one of you. Uno, tell us a bit about yourself. You grew up in Seoul, Korea, South Korea.
Yes, I was born there. I grew up until I finished the college and then moved to the U.S. to Cincinnati, Ohio for graduate study.
And so did you come from a musical family? How did you get hooked on violin?
Well, actually, there was no musicians at all in my family, and I was the first one. And yeah, my father was a great classical music lover. So I grew up with the Beethoven violin concerto and Tchaikovsky concerto throughout my life. So it just became very natural for me to start pick up this instrument.
So you ended up getting your master's and your doctorate at the College Conservatory of Music at the University of Cincinnati and a master's in theory. So you must be kind of interested in all sorts of things involved with music.
Yeah, I was that music nerd. The analysis and all the weird symbols on the music. It's just like a puzzle game for me. Yes, and yeah.
Well, Uno, you don't look like a music nerd, so that's a good thing.
Oh, thank you. I'm glad to hear that.
You look quite beautiful, and you play magnificently.
Thank you.
Now, you had an opportunity to perform on a special Amati violin. Tell us a little bit about that.
Yes, it was. It belonged to the King Henry IV. The IV is a beautifully carved violin, and it came to the National Music Museum that University of South Dakota has. And then I had the opportunity to play before it was stored permanently in the museum. I just had the last performance with that instrument. It was amazing.
Must have been a very special moment to be able to play that.
Yes, it's a once in a lifetime experience for anybody.
Now, before you went to South Dakota, you were the concertmaster of the Sioux City Symphony, and you also are the associate concertmaster of the South Dakota Symphony Orchestra?
Yes, I played with the Sioux City Symphony for 5 years while my husband was the associate conductor there. And then I will go back to South Dakota Symphony after this summer as the associate concertmaster, which I was not doing for the last several years because of all these new jobs I got.
And now you have been with the University of South Dakota and the Rollins Piano Trio for 6 years?
Yes.
And you enjoy being with these other two lovely ladies?
Oh, I love them. Yeah,
well,
and
that's
great. It's a good growth in my music too, playing with them. And yeah, we discuss a lot of things and we share our thoughts. A little different, but that's the beauty of the chamber music. Yeah.
Well, the three of you communicate so well together. It's amazing. I love just watching you play, not alone hearing you play. Well, let's talk a little bit to Mary Elaine Gagnon and tell us a little bit about yourself. You're a Canadian.
I am indeed, but I'm the special one, the French one.
Okay. Tell us a little bit about yourself. You were in a gifted program for children in Quebec.
That's correct. I was recruited. I simply started on baroque flute, and my goal in life was to play clarinet. And I somewhat ended up with a cello. So I suppose they saw talent, or at least enthusiasm in music, and there I was picked to play cello. And it was a special program. They were just starting it, and they were basically trying to do a recruiting for the conservatory. And I got chosen. It wasn't very I wasn't easy at all, I have to say, but I stick with it. I somewhat had a wonderful love relationship with this instrument.
So did they tell you that the cello was going to be a lot heavier and more difficult to carry around?
No, they did not warn me about the extra seat in the plane, nor the looks in the airport, or the security jittering. No, I was not warned of any of that.
So, like your colleagues, you went on and got your master's and doctorate degree. Tell us a bit about that.
Yeah, that's correct. I finished the conservatory, which was probably the equivalent here of an artist diploma, so somewhat a graduate degree. And then I wasn't speaking English at all. And for some reason, it was just very important for me to get an American degree. So I went to the University of Florida International University for a graduate degree, and then University of Miami for my doctorate degree.
And you were played in a chamber ensemble in Miami as well.
I was indeed. This was officially my first professional ensemble, the Ibis Camerata. And we were an ensemble we could undo and do. We had a violin, clarinet, piano, and cello. So we could really just adjust. And that was the beauty of the ensemble as well. And that's actually how we were contracted, because we could bring out so much different variety in only one concert. So I remained with them for close to 6 years. So that was, a different chapter of my life, should I say. We traveled quite a bit with international competition, went to Russia and Serbia, countries as I never thought I would ever go in my life. So it was really a wonderful moment of my life.
And so now you've been with the Rollins Piano Trio and the South Dakota faculty for 8 years now.
8 years.
All right. Well, it's wonderful to have you here today, and let's see what Susan Keith Gray has to say a bit about herself. Now, you're from Tennessee, Susan.
I am from Tennessee. I like to call myself the token American in the group.
Okay. Tell us a bit about yourself, and you have done a lot of different things, and your life has gone in many different directions.
Yes. I started out, of course, in the South. And then I just kept moving, for the most part, further and further north. But one of the things that was central in my life was, from a very early age, always doing a lot of accompanying and playing chamber music. So at 11, I started accompanying the church choir, thanks to my very enthusiastic choir director who trained me. And it just kept going from there in high school, and then on to college, at Converse College, Spartanburg, South Carolina. A work assignment to accompany. I was playing for grad students and undergrads and more, and then on to the University of Illinois, and then University of Michigan, where I did my DMA in collaborative piano there. So, and then this trio.
And you're also in a duo as well.
I am. I met violinist Laura Kobayashi in Ann Arbor, Michigan, and she was there to do her doctorate. And we started playing together, and that was 1990. And we're still playing together, and we've kind of specialized in music of women composers, and we've toured internationally ourselves doing that, and standard programs, as well as touring with the trio.
I was excited when I read that you had done things with women composers.
Yes.
And also, you are very into the African-American art song as well.
Right. And that kind of happened by accident in Ann Arbor, partly because I was sort of a resident of the town at that time. I was married, and so I was staying there for the summers. And so there was a very active group of African-American singers who needed a pianist. And so I started playing that music, and next thing I knew, I was recording it and working with them.
And at South Dakota University, you have started a special program, a master's degree in collaborative piano. Tell us a bit about that.
That's right. And this is such a growing field now, because it's so important that you be able to play with your colleagues, or to be, you know, even in the community, to be able to play well with others. And so it's a degree program that has been added to many universities. And so I didn't want us to be left out, so I started one too.
Now, this trio is quite amazing. You have at least five CDs to your credit. And when I saw your page of repertoire, it's like three columns, single spaced. And you've commissioned a lot of works as well as playing traditional works. So tell us a little bit, just briefly, about the trio and what you try to do with the trio and your goals with the trio.
Yeah, the history goes back to 87, and none of us were in it, in the group at that time. So one of the founders, Richard Ronstadt, had a specialization in American music, and he did quite a bit of research there. So he started the trio, learning and recording all this music of American composers. And so as the personnel has changed over the years, we've continued to do that with the slight difference in that we started commissioning in 2005, I believe it was. So we've now commissioned, I believe, six or seven composers. So then we have recorded a CD of just commissions now.
Which we're going to be hearing from a little bit later today. Well, you are going to play the opening movement from Beethoven's Archduke Trio, which you're going to be performing in full tomorrow night, which we're all waiting to hear. Tell us a little bit about this amazing trio and a little bit about Beethoven. This was a really very tenuous time in his life.
Yeah, it's a magnificent work, and most people know it as just one of the pinnacles of the repertoire. It was composed in 1810 and 1811 at a time when Beethoven was really composing a lot of major works, Sixth Symphony, Seventh Symphony, on and on. One of the more interesting aspects is that it was dedicated to the Archduke Rudolph, who was basically a dear friend, a student also of Beethoven's, an amateur pianist. And there were many works, I think maybe 11 works that Beethoven dedicated to the Archduke Rudolph, who was very loyal to Beethoven. And it's a work that has lots of innovations in it too, and you know, the length and just, you know, interesting things such as suddenly switching the order of the movements. So he put the scherzo second instead of the slow movement second, and that's just the tip of the iceberg of the innovations. But one is that he starts many of the themes very softly in this piece, and I don't know if that's because of his tender feelings concerning the Archduke.
Well, let's hear this wonderful Allegro Moderato, the opening movement to Beethoven's Piano Trio in B-flat, Opus 97, the Rollins Piano Trio.
Thank you.
Piano Trio performing the opening Allegro Moderato movement from Beethoven's Archduke Piano Trio. And that was a brilliant performance. Thank you so much. And what an incredible opening to a marvelous trio. We're broadcasting live from Iowa Public Radio Studio 1 on the UNI campus, and violinist Uno Kim, cellist Mary Elaine Gagnon, and pianist Susan Keith Gray form the Rollins Piano Trio, and all three are on the faculty of the University of South Dakota. Well, tomorrow evening at 7 in the Commons Ballroom on the UNI campus in Cedar Falls, the Rollins Piano Trio is performing the entire Archduke Trio. And if, since we just heard the opening, you've got to want to hear the whole thing now. And they are one of the featured ensembles of the Cedar Valley Chamber Music Festival. And the Chamber Festival this year is celebrating its 10th anniversary. And this year's theme is For Your Ears Only. We're very fortunate to have joining us this afternoon is their founder and artistic director, Hunter Cappuccioni. And congratulations, Hunter, on commandeering 10 glorious years of chamber music.
Well, thanks to the community for supporting it for 10 years.
It's amazing, and you have done so many different things over this 10 years. I remember when you first started, and now what this whole festival has blossomed into. So congratulations, really, hats off to you.
Yeah, thank you. I remember coming into your office and talking to you, like, I'm thinking of starting a chamber music festival.
And we're all going, okay, Hunter,
sure,
let's see what we can
what
do.
Happens, yeah.
Well, tell us about this For Your Ears Only, and I was expecting everybody to show up in trench coats and have on hats and fedoras or something, but no, they came in regular clothes.
Yeah,
so
radio.
Tell us about these three spectacular concerts, plus you have encore performances, plus 9 community outreach performances. You really have some amazing things coming up.
Yeah, and as people ask me what we try to do, and I try to explain, we're really a music festival, just like, you know, a lot of the ones you might go to around the state, you know, if that's 3580 or the Irish Fest or something like that. There's just always something going on. So there's three sort of pillars, which are the big subscription concerts. But yeah, as you mentioned, all the outreach that we're going to be doing around this community and also sort of around Northeast Iowa. We're going to be, for the first time in our history, sort of taking some concerts that we're doing here and then sort of redoing them in other communities. So Elkader and Traer are the two places that we sort of targeted this year, and I'm kind of excited to see if that's a direction we're able to grow, because I think that would be something that's, you know, chamber music is just so portable and really allows us to do exactly that sort of thing. So, and if, you know, if you grew up in Iowa, you know, there's a lot of opera houses and interesting places to perform. Just kind of have to reach out to them, and they're more than happy to have you come and perform in their community. So we're excited about that.
Well, you're sort of doing this 007 theme. You always have these crazy themes. And we'll get back to the concert tomorrow night. But let's take a look at next week. On July 21st, you're going to be at the Waterloo Center for the Arts in Russia with Love. You've got a quartet plus 2 quintets. So that's going to be quite a wonderful performance.
Yeah. I mean, that was probably the easiest one to program with the James Bond theme. You know, I'm sitting there thinking of it, well, to Russia with Love. I mean, that's... find 3 Russian composers and make that happen. The other ones were a little bit trickier, but that one was pretty straightforward. But it's a great program. It's, you know, it's Tchaikovsky and Glazunov, maybe 2 composers you've heard of, and then another composer who is equally as amazing, but Mikolai Metner, who, if you're a pianist, you probably know who that is, but if you're not, you're probably like, who? So a nice variety of, and all those pieces are actually fairly wonderful little gems of the repertoire that almost never get played. So we're really looking forward to that event at the Waterloo Center for the Arts.
And then on the 26th, a week from Sunday, at 3 p.m. at the Great Hall of the Gallagher Blue Dorn, you're doing 2 string quintets, and a piano quintet and a string quintet. Tell us about those.
Yeah, that one's called On Their Majesty's Musical Service. So again, a little play on a Bond theme there. But there are 2 composers who've been knighted. That's kind of the theme there. So they're actually in the service of the Queen. You get it? Okay. So we have Elgar, Sir Edward Elgar, who wrote the famous Enigma Variations, which is such a monumental piece. I think people forget that he actually composed other things, a couple symphonies, and actually a fair amount of chamber music. So this piano quintet is always been one of my favorite of that genre in the chamber music repertoire. And I'm always amazed sometimes when I talk with other chamber musicians, how few actually know the piece, and once they play, like, why do I not know this piece? And then Dame Ethel Smythe is the string quintet we're doing, and that's definitely a name that few people have heard of. But during her time, she was quite the formidable lady in terms of not only being an amazing composer, but being an outspoken champion of women's suffrage during a time period when that wasn't very popular, and just sort of a very stubborn and driven person overall, who created some great music.
So tell us about tomorrow night's concert. This is at the UNI Commons Ballroom, and that starts at 7 p.m.
That's right. All the concerts this year, you know, we travel around and do a lot of concerts in different venues, and I thought with the Bond theme, we were trying to pick venues that sort of had an elegance to them. So the ballroom seemed like a wonderful first place to kick off. The opening concert, A License to Trill. And so we've got the Devil's Trill Sonata by Tartini, and very cool lesser-known string quartet arrangement. And then we're doing Haydn's Lark string quartet, so you'll hear the little trills in the first violin of the lark, sort of imitating those bird calls, and then ending with this wonderful piece, the Archduke Trio, which, you know, probably doesn't have like a major trill in it, but there's a lot of trills in it, so I think it qualifies. Many, 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 many trills. So he took a lot of license with him. So.
Well, a great title and some great music, and that's tomorrow night at the UNI Commons Ballroom, and you'll be able to hear this marvelous Rollins Piano Trio performing on that concert. You also have a whole list of other musicians. Just briefly go through the list of folks who will be joining you on this.
Sure. You know, just very briefly, you know, our mission statement overall is to take musicians who have strong connections to Iowa. Either they perform in Iowa a lot, they were born in Iowa, they were educated in Iowa, and we invite them to come back and perform in this community. And that's been something that we really stick to, because I love how that creates new audiences for us. So we have Tara Lynn Ramsey playing violin for the first time this year, and she's a Cedar Falls native who now lives, well, she just moved to Chicago because she's going to be playing with the Civic Symphony. Yep. My wife, Kirsten. She's Iowan by default. And Nathan Cook and Daphne Gerling are both other two people. And Julia Bullard, probably forgetting someone. Oh, Katie Wolf from the University of Iowa. So, yeah, a lot of Iowans by different means performing this season.
Well, over this past year, we've had the Red Cedar Chamber here. We've interviewed the Bell and Quartet members. We've had Chamberfest Dubuque here on in our studios. Orchestra Iowa has a chamber series, Ames Town and Gown Chamber Music. Why is chamber music so important?
Are you asking all of us?
Yes, I am. So why are folks so excited about chamber music? Why are you excited as musicians about chamber music?
Well, I think Hunter talked a bit about that, one, it's kind of portable, and you know, and if people have instruments, they can put it together in all different combinations. And composers, too, as musicians themselves, as performers, could play, write pieces and play with their friends. And I think that still happens, too.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I think the intimate dynamic that could be created somehow really speaks to the 21st century in a way I don't know if it did before. I think it's in some ways it's sort of the same thing why there's a big resurgence in vinyl LPs. It's sort of this hearkening back to something that's very different from the multimedia, everything trying to hit all your senses at once. It's like it's something a little more intimate, a little more still. You feel really connected to it in a way that's very human. And so that's just my hypothesis of why it's very popular.
Yeah, I think the chamber music is also very important for education for any musicians, the young musicians. You can practice solo by yourself, and you can play in the orchestra, just following the section. And the big part of learning playing is actually listening. And in the chamber music, if you cannot do listen, then you cannot survive. You have to be with others, and you have to be accurate with your part. So I think all the young musicians have to get more serious about chamber music.
And I'll just add on a much lighter level. It's fun. It's really fun. It really brings, in general, a lots and lots of joy and satisfaction in the life of a musician.
Well, I just loved watching as you were playing, and like where you were going from arco to pizzicato, and how like it was duet style, and you were going back and forth. Marvelous conversations that sometimes in the orchestra you don't pick up on like you do in a chamber mm-hmm. music setting.
Yeah, absolutely.
Well, let's get back to the Rollins Trio and some more music here. And you have another Four Seasons work for us. And we're going to head to spring from this one. This is Four Seasons in Belleville by Rick Sowash. He wrote this in 1977. So thank you. And this is the Rollins Piano Trio performing Spring from the Four Seasons in Belleville.
Thank you.
The Rollins Piano Trio performing Spring from Rick Sowash's Four Seasons in Belleville. Thank you all so very much. What a great performance. We're broadcasting live from Iowa Public Radio Studio 1 on the UNI campus. Violinist Uno Kim, cellist Mary Elaine Gagnon, and pianist Susan Keith Gray are the Rollins Piano Trio members, and they are on the music faculty at the University of South Dakota. And after hearing you guys perform, I'm ready to go to South Dakota. I haven't had these urges before, but now I think I'd like to go on a road.
We can do nice things for South Dakota. It's great.
It is. You guys could be their own personal tourist inspirer. Well, they are going to be performing Beethoven's Archduke Trio tomorrow evening at the Commons Ballroom on the UNI campus in Cedar Falls as one of the featured ensembles of this season's Cedar Valley Chamber Music Festival. And the festival is called For Your Ears Only, and it's celebrating their 10th anniversary season with performances starting tomorrow and continuing through July 26th. So, Hunter, tell us a little bit more. You have three main season concerts, as well as these encore performances in Elkader and Traer, and then some nine not-so-secret free-to-the-public concerts. So let's talk a little bit about those and what folks can enjoy when they go to this. I see that you're going to do the Billy Goat's Gruff. You have all sorts of things on the menu for that.
Yeah, we really do. It's such a long list. If you go to our website, cedarvalleymusic.org, and you see the 2000 festival, season festival sort of link, there's a drop-down menu there. You can click on the outreach thing or any one of the concerts and learn more information about it. But in terms of the outreach, this season we have some partnerships with two retirement communities in town, the Western Home and Friendship Village, doing two concerts each there. We have a children's program, as you mentioned. We're doing two pieces on that, one called The Three Billy Goats Gruff, which is based on the Norwegian fairy tale of that name, and it's a great little addition where we have the second violin, it's a small Billy Groat, and then the goat. And the viola is a medium Billy Goat, and then the cello is a big Billy Goat. And of course, the double bass, which is me, I'm the troll. Yeah, I get that infamous thing. And that'll be really fun. And then we're doing another piece called Farmady, which is by Bruce Adolph. So if you ever listen to, I think there's a radio program performance today. Sometimes he comes in and does those piano puzzlers. Oh. Yeah, it's that guy. And he wrote a piece called Farmady, which is for string quartet and carrot. So I really hope if you've got kids, we're doing on the 18th, this Saturday, we're doing it at the Cedar Falls Public Library at 10:30, and then next week at the Waterloo Public Library at 10:30. So those will be fun as well, performing at Allen Hospital for their inpatient acute rehab center. So just a lot of different little things that we do. It's like one-hour programs, little bursts of chamber music around the community. Again, that portability really allows us to connect with audiences that don't often get exposure to this type of music, which is great.
So what was that website again so folks can get
more
details?
Yeah, can I just say it for a couple minutes?
Yes.
Cedarvalleymusic.org. Cedarvalleymusic.org.
That's good. Thank you, Hunter. Well, so fortunate today to have the Rollins Piano Trio that they have agreed that they would play another movement from the Archduke for us.
And
the Scherzo movement. And let's just briefly talk about this. You mentioned, Susan, that this was in a different order when Beethoven wrote it. And also, this is the last time that Beethoven appeared in public as a performer. This is on the verge of his losing his hearing. It was getting very bad at this point. Tell us about this work.
Yes, that's what they say, that his playing was so wild that there were so many wrong notes and such cacophonous sound, and then in the soft passages, he sort of apparently wasn't even pushing down the keys. He sort of thought that he was, and it was quite amazing. But yet, everyone felt sympathetic, of course, because they've known of him as such a great master and a great pianist. And yes, this movement is out of order. Usually, there's the fast beginning movement, and then the slow movement, and then the scherzo, and then the final movement, if there's four movements. And so Beethoven switched it around. And so the scherzo is the second movement. And then the third movement in this piece is a beautiful slow theme and variations, but then it leads directly into the last movement. So he really had a purpose in why he changed the order of the movements.
Well, let's hear the Rollins Piano Trio now playing the Scherzo Allegro movement from the Archduke Piano Trio. Thank you. Wonderful performance featuring the Rollins Piano Trio performing the second movement, the Scherzo movement from Beethoven's Piano Trio, Opus 97, his Archduke Trio. And thank you so much for sharing that with us. We've had an amazing time today with the Rollins Piano Trio performing for us. They are in Iowa, along with seven other musicians or so, to perform with the 2015 Cedar Valley Chamber Music Festival series of upcoming performances. And it's the concert series called For Your Ears Only. The Rollins Piano Trio are on the music faculty from the University of South Dakota. And joining the Rollins Piano Trio today was also the Cedar Valley Chamber Music Festival's artistic director, Hunter Cappuccioni. We're broadcasting live from Iowa Public Radio Studio 1 on the UNI campus. And that chamber series starts tomorrow, and it continues through July 26th at various venues across the Cedar Valley. And to get tickets and more details, please go online to
cedarvalleymusic.org.
Thank you very much, Hunter. Well, ahead on Iowa Public Radio this afternoon, we'll be heading to more music presented by Iowa Public Radio's Barney Sherman. So be sure to stay with us. And program thanks for today's Cedar Valley Chamber Music Festival preview goes to violinist Uno Kim, also for cellist Mary Elaine Gagnon, pianist Susan Keith Gray, and our artistic director, Dr. Hunter Cappuccioni. And it's so great to have had you here today, so thank you so very much. And Iowa Public Radio thanks goes to Phil Moss, our technical producer and engineer. Thanks also goes to IPR's Tony Daner, our student music assistant, Nick Carlo, and also to IPR's music director, Al Scherz. And thank you both so much, or all of you so much, for coming today. It's been really great. I'm Jacqueline Hallbloom. Any last words that you would like to add in parting about the festival and that sort of thing?
You can't miss it. Reorganize the schedule and come to the concert. Thank you
Tickets
much.
Tickets are available at the door, too, I should say.
Oh, that's...
So, just so you know.
Thank you for
you can
adding
come
that.
And just get in.
Well, and one thing I would like to add to this, too, we on Iowa Public Radio, of course, play lots of recordings, but to go to a live performance, to see the facial expressions, to watch people try to change their music in a hurry, to see the bow dancing across the strings, there's something very special about a live performance.
That's very true.
So your opportunity is here. There's so many wonderful things happening in Iowa. Don't stay home. Go out and here's some live music. And we've had the great honor of having the Rollins Piano Trio with us. And we're going to go out with a selection from this disc that Susan was talking about, The Attracting Opposites, New Music for Piano Trio. And it features the Rollins Piano Trio. And you're going to be hearing a selection from Stephen Yarbrough's, I hope I'm saying that right, the second movement from his Julian Trio, All Love Unbounded. And thank you all again for coming today and performing for us.
Thank you.
Great.